the Lord in prayer and to continue to allow the Lord to prepare our hearts and prepare us for His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, God, for who You are. Thank You, Lord, as we sang that song, that our future with You is a sure thing, that we will be in Your presence, a new perfect body, a new perfect earth, a place, Lord, where we can enjoy You for the rest of eternity. Father, it's hard for us to comprehend that, but that is our future as followers of Christ. We want to rejoice in that. And even now, Lord, as we await that future, Lord, we want to prepare. We want to be ready. We want to be used by You. Even this morning, Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready to listen, ready to evaluate, ready to be flexible, to be quick to obey what You desire of us. God, we ask that You would just move in a powerful way during this time, Lord, that Your Word would pierce our hearts, Lord. You would change us from the inside out. You would grow us more into the likeness of Christ. Lord, help us, Lord. And lead us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anyone ever ran a race, a marathon? Anybody ever ran a marathon? Or Andy? Probably quite a few. And if you have, you know firsthand the time it takes to train for a race like that. There's discipline, there's perseverance needed to get your body ready to run the distance, to compete for the prize. You know, in Sri Lanka, every year, throughout villages in the country, they have these running races for children. It's mainly children. All ages. And these kids run barefooted on the pavement. There's a lot of races. And so it's pretty competitive, and there's a lot of celebration, a lot of recognition for those who win. The whole village comes out to see. I want you just for a moment, in the season of Thanksgiving, I want you to think about this. Picture yourself being 12 years old. A 12-year-old boy living in a remote village of poverty, a place where your greatest dream is to somehow escape the poverty, you and your family, and live, be able to live better, be able to have things you need. And your family is very low status, kind of looked down on many others. And you are one of two sons, but you're not the favorite son. You don't receive any special attention. You don't get the essentials you need, even the education you need from anyone. Your parents have bought into this evil idea we call karma, a word that people just kind of flippantly use in today's culture, not knowing the evil darkness behind the false religion that it comes from. And because of it, they have chosen a favorite son. And they have determined that there's no hope for this other son. Get a bad reading. So now picture yourself growing up as this childless village. Every year you watch the parade and victory that the family receives for winning that race. And you think how proud it would make your parents if you could somehow win this race. You don't have the money to buy running shoes. Plus, you're not the favorite son. You wouldn't get them anyway. But yet you train tirelessly, running the pavement barefoot. Just hoping that one day you can win this race and receive the only praise you've ever received. Can you imagine that? Striving to win a race for the prize of love and acceptance and praise. That's the life that many people live in Sri Lanka. There are many races around the world where people strive with great discipline and training and perseverance to win for the sake of money and prizes and recognition and honor and praise. The story today, I know that story should make us feel very thankful. Very thankful. The story we're going to look at today in God's Word is a picture of a runner in a race. That runner is you and I. Everyone who follows Christ has a spiritual-minded race to run. And Paul is urging these believers here in Philippi to pursue this spiritual-minded race, to pursue spiritual maturity in this race, to be this spiritual-minded follower of Christ, who's pursuing Christ. But here's the first question we want to ask ourselves. But do we have a desire to be spiritually mature? Do you have a desire to be spiritually mature? Does that cross your mind? Is that one of your goals? Is that something you are pursuing on a daily basis? Or weekly basis? Or can you look back throughout this year? Did I pursue spiritual maturity this year? Is that something I even thought about? That's our first question. Let's look at verses, we're in chapter 3. Look there first at verses 12 through 16. If you don't have a Bible, if you want there in front of you, open the Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that after to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now this passage, Paul uses one of his favorite examples. He gives us a picture of an athlete running a race. In ancient Greece, the Olympic runners had to first be citizens of the nation they represented, and they also had to be free. They could not be slaves to run in these games. So Paul here uses this analogy to talk about the spiritual-minded race that we run as children of God. Those who don't know Christ are actually slaves to sin, slaves to this world's false philosophies and false gods. But the follower of Christ is a citizen of heaven. In Christ, we have been set free from our sin. We've been given power over the world and its evil. And God empowers us to run this spiritual-minded race. Paul gives us a testimony of how he's running the race. And he's not talking about running to get to heaven. This race is not about obtaining salvation. It's about the process of salvation that happens after we receive Christ, after we are justified, after we exchange our sin for the righteousness Christ. He's talking about spiritual growth and service. He's talking about running for the goal of spiritual maturity on our way to heaven. Every follower of Christ has been given a special place on the track for their own service unto the Lord. And each one has a goal established by Christ. Each has been given a spiritual gift. Each has works prepared by the Father beforehand that we should walk in Ephesians. Our task is to lay hold of that with which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. So how do we run this race? How do we reach this goal of spiritual maturity? It's absolutely by God's grace that we can become spiritual maturity all. In the last passage, Paul laid out his life before Christ, if you remember. And he doesn't want anyone to get the wrong idea. Remember, he said, I can't let anyone lost for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. But he wants everybody to know, hey, that doesn't mean that I have arrived, that I've somehow obtained this perfect righteousness. Only in heaven will I attain perfection. So Paul knows where he stands before God. He's humble, he's honest with God about himself and his spiritual condition. He knows he has a long way to go. He knows he has in no way has God finished his process of sanctification in him. He knows it's a lifelong pursuit that is dependent on God's grace. This is important. Paul never lost sight of the wonder of the gospel. We talked about this last week. The gospel reminded him of where he stood before God. It gave him a desire to go deeper and deeper in his relationship with Christ. Therefore, his focus is always on Christ. Always. Always on Christ. Treasuring his grace, relying on his power, seeking the Lord's will for his life. Paul was not satisfied with the status quo. He wasn't satisfied with where he was in his walk with Christ. So he was humble. He was honest about it as he seeked him. Are you satisfied with where you are in your walk with A spiritually mature person will humbly acknowledge that they haven't arrived. That there is much room to grow in the area of spiritual maturity. And therefore, they're always going to be learners. that they're going to continue to want to be discipled, to want to grow in their understanding of God and His Word. They're going to want to disciple others because that's part of our spiritual growth. You see, in righteousness, Paul never compared himself to someone else. And we may do our own self-evaluation according to what we think is righteous living, but we're going to err in two directions. We're either going to make ourselves better than we are, or we're going to make ourselves worse than we are. Paul used the standard of God's Word as an example of Christ. Therefore, he had a proper view of his spiritual condition, a proper view of what God expected of him and what God thought of him, what God said about him through his Word. This is so important for us. Do you have a proper view of your spiritual condition right now? Have you even thought about it? He knew he had not obtained these things. But he says here, he said, I press on. And the word here means to follow after. It means to strive with great determination. Like a runner in a race. Paul was determined to grow in spiritual maturity. You have a desire to grow in spiritual maturity. You want to be spiritually mature. Have you ever thought of the benefits that spiritual maturity would bring into your life? There is overwhelming blessing from God for those who continually grow in spiritual maturity. All sorts of things. We'll get to that in a minute. Have you ever even thought about it? Like, if I grow in spiritual maturity, how is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect those around me? How is my life going to change? What spiritual blessings might I gain from Christ if I'm walking and growing in spiritual? See, a great athlete is not going to race by listening to lectures about racing or reading books about it or cheering on the sidelines. He wins the race by getting in the race, having a determination to prepare, to train, to run, to win. Paul was zealous for the kingdom of God, and he was serious about his walk with God. He was determined to allow God to work in him and through him to accomplish his will in his life, to mold him more into the likeness of Christ. He knew the overwhelming or the overarching goal of Christian life was to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, worthy of the gospel of Christ that we talked about earlier. What kind of determination do you have to grow in your spiritual maturity? What if believers would put as much determination into their spiritual growth as they do in their work and their hobbies, playing sports, watching a ball game, shopping, spending time investing in their social media? What if we were that determined about our walk with God, that determined about bringing Him glory? What would that look like? We need to be determined. But there are two extremes here to avoid. One says, I must do it all. The other says God must do that. Now we may hold on to that popular saying, just let go, let God. That is to give us a true picture of following Christ. And so we know that Jesus said, without abiding in me, you can do nothing. Those who do not abide in me can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we have to invest in our relationship with Christ in order for Him to produce these, or this much fruit as He talks about in us. Paul has already said here in chapter 2, verse 13 of Philippians, he said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure by His grace. God works in us and through us. But we also have a part to play. We have a race to run. And it is in His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we pursue this goal. We talked about the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit last week, what the Holy Spirit does in and through us. You know, some believers might be so busy dying to self that they never come back to life and run the race. And some can be so confident that they can make it on their own that they never stop. They stop to spend time with the Lord. Stop to pray. Stop to ask Him for help. They're just running. We need to be serious about our walk with God and determined to pursue His righteousness and to allow Him to empower us and strengthen us and mature our faith. Paul gives us another clue here into this running of this race. in our determination, we must also be dissatisfied with our past failures, our past successes, and even with our walk yesterday. Paul knew that he had not attained perfect spiritual maturity, but he was determined to press on. He says, the one thing that I do is forgetting what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. Paul had done many things in his life before Christ that could have weighed him down. His past failures, past sins, terrible things. It could have kept him from faithfully running this race. He could have been so focused on his past that he lost all hope of living for Christ and serving him in any capacity. Now in Christ, Paul had suffered so much already. He had accomplished so many things for Christ, and even these successes could have kept him from running the race. He could have found satisfaction or pride in all of his accomplishments. I mean, he got a long list of accomplishments for Christ. And that would have led him to kind of slow down, take it easy. I'm kind of tired, so we can press on. I've already done a great work for the Lord. But Paul kept his eyes on Christ, and he looked away from his past failures. He looked away from those past successes, and he looked forward to the future. He looked forward to growing deeper in his relationship with Christ and growing in spiritual maturity. The word there, forget, means to no longer be influenced by or affected by. And we love to be able to forget some of the bad memories we have in our lives. Sometimes it may even seem impossible. But God encourages us in this. Hebrews 10:17, he says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. That's pretty significant. When we go to Christ, he says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. See, God forgives and he forgets. When Paul said he forgot those things in the past, remember again, he took hold of the power and promises of God and he broke the hold of his past. God gives us the power to do that. In Christ, we break the power of our past by living for him, living in him for the future, by clinging to his promises, by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and empower us to help us overcome. We walk by the Spirit. Therefore, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because we walk by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. We're being filled with the Spirit. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to take rule and reign in our hearts every single day and allow him to lead us. And he's revealing these promises to us, helping us to cling to that, helping us to press on, helping us to be led by him and not by our flesh. Be shackled. Or we need to be shackled by regrets of the past. Are you enslaved by the sins of your former life before Christ? Or maybe you are overconfident about your walk because of your past successes or your many good deeds. Are you satisfied with where you are in your faith? Don't be distracted by these sins. Just like a runner doesn't look back, he has to keep his eye on the finish line. And if you, the runner, is always looking back, you're going to fall. You're going to experience pain and suffering.